You're going to see all the emotions.
Things got a little crazy at times.
And yes, there are some tears.
It wasn't rainbows, it wasn't butterflies. It is gut-wrenching. It is hard, and it only gets harder. This whole entire thing wasn't always pretty. Here's the thing. I wasn't the perfect bachelor.
Hello, Internet. Welcome to a very special episode of 25 to Life. There are three people on this podcast right now. I'm just one of them. I have two guests with me, my friends Frank and Brittany. Please introduce yourself.
Hello, hello.
You go first. Because I've done this before, so you go first.
Yeah, Frank's old news. Brittany, tell us about yourself.
I am one of the original Bachelor watchers. Been watching since 2003 in my college dorm.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah.
That's 16 years ago.
So I would say I'm a Bachelor pro.
And I got into The Bachelor, I would say 50% because it was already on TV at our house, and 50% because I wanted to gamble on it with Adam. And
yeah, Frank and I got in. Frank and I got in at the same time.
Yeah, like what, 5-6 years ago now?
I guess a little bit longer than that, because this is my show's in season 12. So
7 years ago.
7 years ago, yeah.
And then sure enough, like about a week. Okay, so you guys may remember me from, you know, let's say episode 3 or 4 of Ari's season.
Yeah, almost exactly 1 year ago.
Which I think we should, at some point in this podcast, redo the who are the best athletes who have appeared on the Bachelor rankings.
Oh, yeah, Colton,
which we did
over
during that show.
Yeah.
But about a week ago, I texted Adam and I said, you know, Brittany has really wanted to just be a fly on the wall and watch to see how the podcast is made, because we have been listening to it for years. And Adam says, well, why don't you guys come and guest host?
Adam said... that we're putting her on air.
So
dream come true.
It's easy, right? The studio is large and impressive.
It's
right?
Quite impressive.
Is it everything that you had hoped it would be?
Yes, I actually like the help that's helping feed me some wine.
There's so many people.
Yeah.
It's like whatever you want.
Whatever I want. Yeah.
This is the magic of show business.
Hey, people.
That's it.
Bring us more wine.
Staff. You have to sound kind of derogatory when you talk to them.
Exactly.
You know, like, you should know. Saf, excuse me. Could we get some wine in the ivory tower?
Yes. And it comes.
Right. So here we are. We've just witnessed a date in Thailand, of all places.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's fitting that the first date, since Taylor is out this week, is at the Robinson Club in Thailand.
Very fitting.
Yes.
Maybe they knew. They were like, listen, we gotta get her into this episode somehow.
You're
maybe
still Taylor's here, Taylor.
Maybe Taylor's there. Where is Taylor?
At the Robinson Club in Thailand. maybe. Taylor is location TBD at this point. Just like the end of this show.
Leaving us hanging.
What the hell happens? Why do they do this?
You know, it seems like they had gotten away from it. Right? Like,
this is the first time this year, for sure.
And I guess maybe they had done it a little bit in the last season. But yeah, I thought they were back to finishing every show with an elimination.
Does anybody want this? Now we're in this weird thing where it's like, next week, do we have two rose ceremonies? Do we do two rose ceremonies spread across 3 episodes now? Everything's off.
They could have wrapped this up in 10 minutes. But no.
No, I guess, so I guess at the end we'll talk about what we think is going to happen when they continue. But at the beginning of this date, so we're in Thailand, and the very first one-on-one date is a momentous occasion for the bachelorette on this date. It's Heather, the very thin, tall piece of teeth, right? And so she gets this date, and like, there's this drama, right?
What drama?
Because she's never been kissed. And it's like, oh my God. The entirety of the date, you can't even pay attention to what's happening. Mostly because nothing's happening. They're on a boat. Great. We're in Thailand. There's water. Boat, right? But the entirety of the date, you're like, is he going to kiss her? Is he going to kiss her for the first time? Or is he just going to cut her loose? Which, as my bold prediction would have said, I expected him to just... release her.
They started by blowing kisses to some monkeys, I think, off the boat.
Oh, I believe Colton said, "Do you blow kisses?" Very awkwardly.
Awkwardly is...
We were really thinking it was... We were really thinking your prediction was on track. I think we were watching it and thinking Adam's going to be right. She's going to be sent out.
The entire date is this, like, will he, won't he thing where, like, yeah, they're on a boat. Great. They go to a floating island, which is an oxymoron. No, not. It's not an oxymoron.
Was it like a little city?
Every island is floating.
Yeah.
That's the concept.
Okay, a small floating island.
Yeah, so they go there, and they just, like, they do, the walk and talk. Taylor would have hated it. And the whole time, you're just like, when is he going to do it, or is he just going to release her, right? Do you guys remember anything that actually happened?
There were a lot of shots of their mouths eating things.
Oh, that's right!
With sexual tension. Maybe they're going to kiss. Maybe not. Some great editing in there.
I watch The Bachelor every week for just the mouth shots. It's the best part of the show, really. So yeah, I mean, this was a weird date. Like,
it's a weird date.
It was awkward the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
You, like, if he kept her, he had to kiss her, right?
Exactly.
It seemed like the type of date that people go on when they are... This was, like, reminded me of when I was, like, 14 or 15, going on a date where you're just, like...
Just to be clear, he's 26 and she's 23, but yeah, go ahead.
Well, exactly. Yeah. They're mature people, but you're like, oh, like, I remember what this was like, but not when you're a, like, full-grown adult. Like, the awkward tension that they had was, like a 14-year-old experience. Like, you're going on a date, like, end of middle school, and you just, like, aren't sure when the kiss is going to happen or if it's going to happen, but it's all centered around that. Like, it was, yeah, it was a 15-year-old date.
Yeah, I think she's waiting for this, like, magic moment where, like, he looks into her eyes and she looks back and, like, everyone knows.
But he's not helping it. He's not saying, like, don't worry, it's going to be okay. No. Or, like, being suave or anything.
She's expecting it to happen, like it might happen in, like, a Lifetime movie or something, where just everyone with no communication is instantly on the same page. This is not how it happens in real life. Like, everyone who has ever had any kind of, like, a first kiss with anybody knows that that's not how it happens. She's expecting that. And so eventually, whatever, they're talking. He gives her this rose. And I think I expected it to happen right after he gives her the rose. Like, here's the rose. And then also, second part, this is the mouth is going to happen right now. Like, he's going to brave the perils of her teeth, which are a lot. She has at least twice the average amount of teeth. Like, she has so many teeth, and they're so obvious.
Just excessive gums, I think.
Maybe what you're saying is right. I cannot...
There's more mouth... There's more visual of... The mouth is more open than average.
Physically, I feel like she has no features but a mouth.
So, okay.
She's lots of hair.
She's a mouth on legs with long hair.
Okay, so Britt, I have a question. She gets the kiss. Do you think that means, like, he is like, putting her towards the top of his list? Like,
no.
would he have done this? Like, where do you think he has her in his list?
She's, like, 7 or 8. This is a pity kiss. It's like, this is your first kiss.
It is a pity
kiss.
It's
got to be, like, after the fireworks, on the beach. You know, that's what you want your first kiss to be.
I think this is a very important part. They don't kiss right after he gives her the rose.
No.
He takes a nice, slow, romantic walk with her down the beach to a bonfire when somebody somewhere sets off fireworks.
Who knew?
And then it just happens.
Yeah.
Like...
But not after, like, a couple minutes of very awkward, like,
it was
look at those rocks. Oh, that's interesting.
I think he was just killing time till the fireworks
killing
went
time,
off.
Exactly.
Like, they had to clear time for the pyrotechnics to, like, clear and the thing to start. But, like, also, good luck. All your other first kisses after this, your second kiss, your third kiss after this, are going to be terrible.
Yeah, but this also was clearly the producers. They were like, we gotta have a good kiss for her, right? So they planned this whole thing.
Her season's done.
And she's done. She can go home
this
next week.
This is the highlight of her season. Yeah. She will probably go home next week. Or whenever the next rose ceremony is. It might be 3 weeks from now. We have no idea.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like she must have signed up for this, right? Because if she
auctioned off her kiss virginity?
Well, kind of. I mean, basically, she... You know, she must know at this point, like, okay, like, I'm just going to just going for it. Like, I might not actually win this, but I'm going to get the first kiss. Like, she's going for it, right? Yeah. I don't know. It just seems like neither of them... I agree. I don't think she's in his top five.
Right? Do you think she thinks she is?
Well, there's part of me that says if she's not, like, clearly not who you're going to pick, like, why would you be the one to take the first kiss from her?
Because the producers made you.
Yeah, exactly.
You signed a contract that said you have to do whatever the hell they want you to.
Yeah.
And they made you.
Right.
You're channeling Taylor. She'd be so proud.
Oh, I hope she is. I hope she's listening to this somewhere and she's like, you know what? He finally gets it. I think this is just a play to sort of make her more of an available option for Bachelor in Paradise.
Totally agree. After this. Yeah, Bachelor in Paradise.
Right? Because,
yeah.
Like, it would be weird if she were like, I've never kissed anyone, and then she has this chance, and it doesn't happen, and now she goes on a show where all that happens is people are kissing, right?
Yeah, and then her title card says, only been kissed once.
Oh, yeah! They changed the title card midway through the date to, like, has been kissed.
Exactly.
What a cute little detail, but, so like, cute. Also, like, her, like, stock on her, if you have it, like, sell it, it's just gonna get worse, right? Yeah.
They had nothing to talk about on that date, either.
So then they get back, and she starts telling the whole crew about her date, and Elise walks out.
This is a great way to talk about the transition. Beautiful, frankly.
Transitions.
So normally I don't think we would do this, but we're going to have like a slight end around on the show order right now. Where we're going to sort of, I guess, these producers didn't get a rose ceremony, and so we have to do End of the Rose. We have to take it into our own hands right now. And force it into the show. Or at least, maybe Elise just did it for us. So Elise hears this, oh my God, he kissed this mouse with legs. I have to do something about this. So her instant response to this is to dress up in the nicest thing she has. A fancy ass, like, white dress.
It's How would you describe this?
I believe you called it a negligee/wedding dress, which is... fairly,
I mean, right?
Is there, accurate.
There's not a lot of overlap. And, like, that Venn diagram has a very slim...
Very tangent. Sheer, very low cut, only a little bit covering, which is in the color nude. So it looks like it's maybe totally nude.
It was definitely a statement.
Mm, yeah.
The kind of thing you wear to leave a reality show, maybe?
I mean, yeah.
So
yeah. Or win him over in her
either
mind.
To win him either to win him over.
I don't know if she thought she was going to win. Like, so wait. So here's what happens. She gets dressed up in this fancy thing. Heather comes back. She's like, I kissed him and it didn't kill him. Great. Everyone's like, good for you. We all know you're not going to win, but at least you got what you wanted out of this. And Elise goes, I'm going to go get dressed up and storm out of here. And she does. She walks right over to Colton's place. And she's like, listen, a person who signed up for a dating show where I go on 5 dates with you in like 3 months, cannot deal with you dating 30 other women, and I can't deal with only going on 5 dates with you in 3 months. I'm going to leave. And he kind of just accepts it. He's kind of just like... all right, that's cool.
I mean, he says the connection is there. Like, he obviously... would have preferred her to stay.
I think he's just reading that. Somebody's like, hey, listen, act like this is a big deal. They're like waving at him. Like, hey, can you cry? Like, pinch your leg or whatever it takes. I don't know how much he cares. Taylor somewhere is mourning this because she loves Elise.
We could tell afterwards, the scene like 3 or 4 minutes afterwards where he seemed kind of subdued in his... You know, he didn't break down and he didn't have like a Peter after Rachel moment. Like, he didn't, you know, totally lose it after she left. So he clearly was totally torn up about it. But he would have preferred she stayed.
Still too early for him to be torn up about it, probably.
I think you're right. I think it's too early.
They had one date.
Yes.
One date.
Yes. He's been on a date with this woman. And
she wants him to pick her right now and leave the show. She doesn't understand the show.
She doesn't get it. Also... he has no reason to be upset. Like, the concept of the show is he eliminates the women.
Yeah.
If there's any reason for him to be upset, it's that someone just took a shortcut and eliminated themselves, and he didn't get to decide it.
Exactly.
It's like, maybe he didn't want her to be there, but he wants it to happen on his terms, okay? Not hers. So that's it. We had this weird moment. she's like, I made a mistake. And like, what mistake do you think you made?
I believe she said she's disgusted with herself.
Isn't it a little bit late to be thinking that?
I think she kind of went into that conversation and she just kind of likes hearing the sound of her own
remorse.
Yeah. And just she kind of you know, had her mind made up in a certain direction, and then like immediately was like, oh, this means I'm getting eliminated from the show. The fact that I created this dramatic scenario, I don't know, it just seems like she probably didn't think this through fully.
She's one of the older women on the show. She should be thinking this through. Age and maturity do not always correlate. But
older for this season, 31.
Yeah, for this, I think 32, 31. Yeah. She's over the line, though. Like, yeah. There's the line of 27 or whatever. She's 22. Over it.
It makes me wonder what they edited out, you know? Because they obviously got a ton of her having these, like, poetic, dramatic lines. Like, did they have a serious conversation before that?
I feel like she went on the show and, like, ran into exactly what anybody would expect being on the show and was surprised by it.
She couldn't handle it. Couldn't deal.
Gotta play the game.
Bye, Elise.
I think you gotta kind of be hotter, too. So, anyway, she leaves. No one misses her but maybe Taylor, right?
Probably. Sorry, Taylor.
Sorry. And that's kind of it. That's, like, the big drama of that show.
What? D-R-A-M-A. Drama! Right there.
So, on the plus side, we have another group date coming up. It's an interesting one. I would say an interesting one. The date is essentially, they get on a boat.
Can we get a Welcome to the Jungle soundbite?
Oh, man, yes!
Welcome to the jungle!
By our audio staff.
Excellent
just
work.
Top notch. Like, the absolute best. Like, Frank says it, and you can see these people just scurrying around everywhere to get this thing in line for us.
This is how you get pumped up for the group.
So, we take a boat, you know, because that's what you do in Thailand, to a jungle where everyone decided to go hiking through the jungle. Inside the jungle is Colton's friend, Joe. They go so far back.
So
he and Joe have a history.
Best old
drinking buddies from college.
I think equally as close with all the monkeys.
Yeah, if somebody isn't watching the show, they won't know this. Joe is somebody Colton obviously doesn't know. He's just a local guy who's like a hiking guide through the jungle or something.
Yeah, do we think they spent 3 minutes together? Did Colton go in the jungle for an hour before that? Like,
I'd say 20 minutes. Producers connected them.
Did they sit next to each other doing makeup? Did they do any makeup?
No, maybe like no
sound
makeup.
Checks
it was,
together.
It was raining. There was no makeup.
Oh, it was raining. This is the crucial part of the date, I think. It's raining, so everyone just looks like misery. It's raining.
Crap.
Plus it's like humid. Plus they're hiking. And it's not a real jungle. There's a path. It's wide, like whatever. It's a very domestic jungle that they go in. They meet Joe. Joe's like, hey, listen, do you know you can eat bugs? And then everyone splits up into teams and goes out in search of food.
But before that, Hannah Beast, aka Hannah Beast, chugs a bug.
Self-given nickname.
Self-given nickname.
She ate that bug!
Ate a whole bug.
And Colton did not.
No.
No,
he wimped out.
She literally fell for the oldest trick in the book. Colton did that, like, I'm going to turn my head sideways and put this bug in my hand, fake in my mouth, like I'm eating it, but not. And Hannah was like, oh, cool, he's eating bugs. I'll do it, too.
To give credit where credit's due, I wrote that Tayshia held a scorpion, Nicole held an eel, and Colton tried to hold a snake, but got freaked out.
Very disgusting. There was also elephant poo. Dried elephant poo.
That's right.
Nearby.
It can be used to start fires.
Fun fact. Who knew?
If you're ever listening to this podcast while walking through
the
jungle of Thailand, you could start a fire with that dried poo you see.
Well,
survival tips.
Good to know.
This is why we watch the show.
So they're walking through. They split up into teams. And I guess the important thing to note is that there are three teams. two of them totally play by the rules, and they scavenge and get dirty and whatever. Everyone, again, everyone looks miserable. The
sweaty,
makeup, the
wet,
makeup is falling off.
No
their
hair.
Oh, the hair is looks Ugh. Terrible. Three of the girls, Demi, Hannah, and Hannah, decide, you know what? If we can make it back to the road, the producers will pick us up in the van and take us back to society. And they do that.
This was clearly Demi's lead.
This is Demi's idea.
Yeah.
Well, because Hannah just ate a bug, so she would have been down to stay in the jungle.
Exactly. Hannah would have gone
along
with
it.
Hannah B.
And Hannah G is just along for the ride.
She's
not making decisions.
She knows she's winning. She knows that all she has to do is not, like, assault somebody,
exactly.
And she's going to survive.
Yeah. I don't think we know enough about Hannah G yet.
The only thing to know is that he's very into her.
Right.
There's literally nothing else to know. And, like, it's so much easier to play this game from the front. Because you don't have to say or do anything.
She doesn't have to eat a bug.
You just have to not mess up.
Right, but, like, we don't know enough to, for example, like, would she be better friends with Demi or Hannah B, like, in this group?
Probably neither.
Well, we don't know.
I think Brittany's right.
Yeah. Neither.
Neither.
She
yeah.
wouldn't be friends with either of them, but
she
she's
doesn't,
just going along with it.
She yeah. doesn't need friends. She's winning. So anyway, so they cheat, and, like, keep in mind, the point of group dates, the point of most of the dates in the show, is to see if you'll play along. These three just flagrantly don't, and it doesn't really seem to bother anybody. They bring back, like, a hamburger and champagne, and Colton's like, cool, let me eat that hamburger. Come on, like, be a sport, Colton.
What's funny is they could have bought, like, local delicacies and played it off.
True.
And tried to cheat, right? They could have been like, we bought, like, fried cockroaches.
I don't think Demi has that level of tact in her about anything. I think she actually inversely, like, takes pride in having no tact. She's like, this is who I am and it's awesome, right?
She likes to make an impression.
She likes
and
to make
that's
a,
her impression.
A very low class impression.
Yes. I will say that I have to, like, give them props for going to the bar and having cocktails together. That seems fun. I would do that with my friends.
I like that sounds fun, but
yeah.
like you could do this
yeah.
when you're not in the middle of a date where the goal is to play along.
True.
Do you think they did this, or do you think the producers were like, "Hey, listen, Demi, got you a car outside. Just go get in it for the drama."
Drama.
Questionable. Perhaps.
I don't know. I think that's probably what happened. Right?
Yeah. Well, you wonder like. How much do the producers want to be in this random jungle hunting bugs too, right? At the first sign of suggestion, I'm sure they were totally down for this idea.
Really? Like, standing out in the rain shooting is not ideal?
Well,
I guess it kind of works for everyone.
You know that the producers already know where this burger joint is, right? Because they've clearly been there, like, earlier in the day, or like...
Oh, yeah.
You know, if there's a place nearby, they know where it is, because they've been there before.
They only have an hour to do the whole thing, so these burgers must have been ordered ahead of time. Like, they had to walk to the van, then go back, get a drink, then go get the burgers, then come back, and then walk up to the group.
I feel like Demi must be friends with one of the producers and was, like, you know, shooting the shit with him. Like, what, do we have to really do this? Where
I
can
think
we go?
The producers like having her on
yeah.
the show, for sure, because she's a little fireball.
Yep.
Other notes I had from this date, Tayshia pulled Colton aside, and it seems like through every opportunity she gets, she's, as Adam would say, taking advantage of her percent.
She's a percent maximizer. She's great at it.
Tayshia is absolutely, she's making the most of her opportunity, right?
Yeah, so, like, after the hiking thing, they're all in their little, like, separating and getting their own little one-on-one time.
Mm-hmm.
Tayshia destroys it. She's in this, like, red jumpsuit thing, looks crazy hot. More about that later, obviously. So she does that. Like, Hannah B pulls the I love you card out first, which I think...
Too soon.
Maybe first one of the season, right?
Yes.
Way too soon.
Way too soon.
She's just shooting bullets where she can find them. There's nothing there. She just needs this.
Yeah.
This is also where Kirpa's face gets messed up.
Kirpa's...
We don't know how or why.
Kirpa's face has a mystery injury the entire episode.
And she hasn't explained it to us yet because she hasn't talked.
No, well, she didn't need to talk. she has this this like bandage on the bottom of her chin, and it's like, it's very noticeable. It's extremely noticeable.
Extremely noticeable.
I have one of our, Frank and I work together, and one of our coworkers texted me in the middle of this episode. She was like, is that like a Nelly Band-Aid? Like, is that like a look? Like a statement? Is it like a gang symbol?
It's like for street cred?
Yeah, is she like, now she's in Thailand, she's like, guess what, I'm part of the underground. Or like, what is she about? Or maybe she just injured herself. In a gang fight, obviously.
How much are you into chins? Will this affect Kirpa's spot in your Power Rangers?
Listen, you're going to have to listen to the end of the episode to find out.
It's a teaser.
It was a mystery. But yeah, Kirpa showed up, made a statement with her chin, made no statements with her mouth, ever. She's the silent wonder that just keeps on
giving. Don't know anything about her.
So that's kind of it. Like we start to see a little bit of a fight at the end of this episode between Onyeka and Nicole, but the majority of this fight I think will happen later. So maybe let's zoom past.
Basically, Onyeka teases that Elise told her the night before she left that Nicole said that she's her primary reason for being on the show is to get out of Miami.
Well, sounds like the wrong reasons, Frank.
Well, that's what we think.
So that's the conceit of this fight.
But then Tayshia basically immediately squashes that because she was there when Elise heard this from Nicole, and she says that's not at all what she was saying. She was saying you have to basically take advantage of your opportunities when you get them, yada, yada, yada.
All of this is a lie.
So Onyeka just played herself.
Yeah.
And Tayshia goes up in my rankings because that was bomb.
I wrote down in all caps, everyone is crying. Or maybe it's just raining on everyone's eyes. Also, I spelled everyone without the E at the end, so it says every on is crying.
So at this point, I was definitely curious who was going to get the rose, because you just saw...
I thought for sure it would be Tayshia.
You just saw a full day of Tayshia, like...
Just dominating everything.
Yeah.
Every edit, right? She's pulled them away in the jungle. She's been doing great. She had, like, the great jumpsuit that we were talking about. She even, like, wins the side argument between Onyeka.
She's even like, listen, I'm bigger than your fight. Like, so, this is over.
It seemed like a natural pick that she would get the rose, but she doesn't.
Surprise. Spoiler alert. Saying I love you gets the rose. At this point, it's kind of the drama that just gets you through, right?
Do you think that the early love declaration will pay off at all?
No.
No, it's a gamble, but...
Hannah B. is in her own world. She is on her own journey, and she's going to go home in two episodes.
Two episodes?
Two.
Early bold prediction.
Do you think it's like a rose ceremony goes home, or do you think it's like a one-on-one date, or do you think it's hey, I need you to leave right in the middle of everything right now?
I think it's just a rose ceremony.
Just a regular old, you're not good enough to be here. I think
she just gets played through, and she's done. Too many other top leaders.
Yeah, and like, she's a lot.
She's a lot he's
gotta,
to handle.
He's got to notice that keeping her on the show just requires a lot of everyone else to handle. Right?
And especially because she's thrown out that she's falling in love with him. She's probably going to say she's in love with him next week, and he's going to be like, whoa, 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 too soon.
Yeah. I think I've talked about this on our show before, but I have this idea that if there's ever a set of circumstances that leads to me being the Bachelor, which, like, is unlikely, but, you know, maybe. If this ever happens...
Taylor gets a job as a major studio executive.
Taylor leaves me for Oscar Isaac. Like, that's a real possibility. If that option were there, I couldn't even be upset about it. I just have to be like, all right, I guess I could try over again then. That's how it works.
And then you become the Bachelor somehow.
Yeah, and then one of the 200 people who listens to this show just happens to be a producer of The Bachelor and is like, I know the guy. He wears glasses. It'd be the first time we've never had
a guy with glasses.
Right? We never had a short, like, out
all
of shape
girls
guy.
With glasses.
Oh, man!
Yes!
Oh, the best vision like the most accurate Vision season of all time.
Yes.
Instead of Neil Lane at the end, you'd have like the guy from Lenscrafters.
Or like Warby Parker.
Oh my gosh. Felix Gray, actually. You should say Felix Gray. That's like Custer Rogue.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So I've always had this idea that if I were on the show, I would play this game where I tell the girls upon leaving the Bachelor Mansion, like, listen, we're going to pair you up in like a set of rooms at the next place. And so just like rank who you want to be roommates with of the girls who are left. And I would just instantly combine everyone's rankings into one massive thing. And whoever finishes first, whoever the girls want to spend the most time with, instantly gets my one-on-one like first, and the girl who gets last thrown out of here. And I have a feeling that if that gimmick were pulled at this point, Hannah B might be the absolute last place finisher. Because she's so much.
You think Hannah B would lose that competition versus Demi?
Yes.
Why? Why?
Because Demi talks to people. Like, people are talkative with Demi.
Yeah, Demi's friends with Onyeka, clearly.
Yes, yes. In this episode, like, later, when Onyeka has something to say, she's like, I need to leave this place and talk to somebody, and she takes Demi with her. I don't think that would happen with Hannah B at all. Like, Demi would take what you're saying, and she'd go, like, loudmouth it to everyone else, but she'd at least listen to you. Hannah B. would just have a psycho meltdown if somebody else talked for, like, a second, and she didn't get a word in.
Okay, bold predictions later. I want to know who we think Demi's getting in a fight with next week.
Everyone.
Because she's already eliminated the two people she was fighting with initially, so we'll save that for the end.
All right, so this is the group date. Hannah B. gets the rose. Other than that, it's just very wet, and everyone kind of starts crying or sweating or just got rained on. I can't tell. It's super moist.
It's the jungle. That's how it's
yeah. So then we go forward to the last date of the entire show. It's a good one. It's Cassie's one-on-one. This is going to be a surprise to you guys. It starts on a boat.
What?
Yeah, a boat, right?
They have boats there?
I think Big Boat is paying The Bachelor to, like, produce this love on a boat propaganda and be like, listen, your relationship doesn't count unless there was a boat involved at the beginning.
I think it's important to note that this was basically a tugboat. So a different variety of boat.
So they're mixing it up each date. Each date is a different type.
Yes.
Well, it seems like they're all just kind of on the same beach. Like, listen, maybe they're only within, like, 1 square mile.
Big Boat is a propaganda machine with many inflatable arms.
So,
a tugboat is one of them.
So, Adam, I have a question for you. So they go to a private island on this date.
I'm glad you brought this up.
And I know you have experience with some private islands.
Taylor Robinson, my co-host when you two aren't available, is... she and I went on a trip to Australia for a honeymoon, which is a vacation you take after you get married to somebody.
And, sounds lovely.
Right?
Sounds lovely. What did you do? What were some of the highlights?
Well, one of the activities was we rented a private island excursion. So we go to this island. We're in like the Whitsundays, which is a little island chain off the northeast coast of Australia. And we go to this private island, and the only infrastructure on the entire place is a chair, two chairs and an umbrella, and then like a cooler. This is where our lunch is.
This sounds very Bachelor of you.
It's fantastic.
Yes.
This is Bachelor everything that's on the life. Island. It's very relaxing. It's peaceful. There's nobody around. We just get to sit there. I think we rented the thing. We had like 3 or 4 hours on the island where it's like, guess what? Just you. You can do whatever kind of shenanigans you want to do for like 3 or 4 hours. So we sit down, we open the cooler, we start to eat a little bit of lunch, and it rains the hardest it's ever rained. Like, it could not possibly rain harder.
We saw the video, it's hailing almost.
It's so, and like Taylor and I are just like, this umbrella, it looks big when you're sitting there, and then it starts raining and you realize this is not an umbrella anymore, this is my only protection, and it's very small. Imagine being, like, underwater, and the thing to protect you is, like, a tiny cocktail umbrella. And you're just like, well, I guess everything I own is going to get ruined.
And you're stuck there for 4 hours?
Yeah, like, I came here to read this book, which, first of all, is so wet that it's ruined now. It was kind of a disaster.
So, luckily, this one goes a little bit better. Well, how did you get out of there?
We like radioed the boat guy and we're like, I give up. Like the other hours in this thing, come back and get us. I don't want to spend the rest of the time here. And so the boat comes and like Taylor runs the island and I'm like, she runs off the island onto the boat and I'm like, I'm not leaving this food here. I'm hungry. So I grabbed the food and brought it back and then we just ate it in our like hotel room, which is still pretty okay. Like we're on our honeymoon, so the hotel room is great. But yeah.
Yeah, so basically they don't abandon you there. There's some sort of radio, and they're like hovering offshore somewhere.
It is a little like primitive like walkie talkie thing. It's a miracle that it worked, but it did. So we survived.
So you had the island all to yourself, but I think that Cassie and Colton did not have the island all to themselves because I think it was a beautiful island, but I think it was definitely Cassie, Colton, a cameraman, a second cameraman, probably a sound guy.
Maybe two.
Maybe two sound people. Maybe a producer. So I just, like, that has to be, like, a crappy part of the sharing your own private island experience, is that it's really, like, seven people.
It didn't seem to bother the two of them. They didn't get there and they're like, well, look at all these other people who are here. I guess it's time for modesty.
What do you mean? Was it the clothes on the beach?
They got there and like almost instantly, most of their outer clothes were gone. Mm-hmm. They had on, I think what I would consider to be the bare minimum to be aired on a public television channel in prime time.
Especially one owned by Disney.
Right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so they were just having this, hyper romantic moment in the water.
I particularly enjoyed the porn music. Several different options, yes.
Did you?
Yes.
Is enjoyed the word you're looking for? Like,
it's definitely a... They start with a smooth jazz, and then they progress to like a more progressive jazz.
Well, this was really out of the box for The Bachelor. They never pick this music. This was new music. Very unique.
Wow, they just...
Not really... new as in like... From 2019.
No, new for The Bachelor.
New for The Bachelor.
They, like, the entire date was just them making out. It was like a softcore, like, they didn't even talk or anything. They literally just made out the whole time. So,
Adam, so the first night after the episode one, I came into work, and what did I tell you? I was like...
Cassie's gonna win.
I said, I'm Team Cassie all the way.
Frank has been on team... This is absolutely accurate. Frank has been predicting Cassie the entire time.
It's true.
Obviously, I don't predict Cassie, because I don't even predict who he likes.
Whoa, we're not in the power rankings
no,
yet.
I think you would... You have agreed...
I think Cassie is in the small group that can contend.
But I think you would say you've agreed with Taylor's... power ranking, yeah. Putting Hannah G at the top.
Yes. I think Hannah G is at the top, and then Cassie is in the group that comes after that.
But I think this day definitely, like, got her
so
as high as she has been for the whole show.
So, what I would like to point out is that, is compare her date to Heather's date.
Yes.
Heather's date is awkward the whole time. You're like, what's gonna happen? Like, will they, won't they? Like, this is... And then the entire thing is just, like, a one kiss at the end. And it's a grind to get to that one. And this date, they're like magnetically inside the other person's mouth. It's like, it's aggressive. But when they're like hanging out, it's like very easy. And it's, there's no confusion here. There's no will they, won't they. There's no like, is this really a thing? Is she going to go home? Like this date is just, it's easy, and
both said they felt like they knew each other for a long time.
I think that is like the precursor to I'm falling in love with you, exactly. Which is the precursor to, like, there's a three-step process here, and that's the easy way to start it, I think.
So a couple key points for me. And they like hung out in bed to the point where you were thinking,
good,
like,
good point. Yeah.
That just happened. So they're on the private island, and then all of a sudden, guess what? In Colton's bed.
We don't know what happened.
Still with the cameraman around.
How did they get there?
I don't know. She also got a rose. We never saw that either. Stuff just happened.
They just made out the whole time.
And the edit showed you the rose just sitting there. like a couple times, which suggests to you, well, she eventually got it, right?
And then she's just holding it in like a camera, like an interview on the side. She's just holding it. And you're like, wait, what?
Right. Like, did Colton tell the cameras to leave so they didn't get that shot? Did he never actually like formally give it to her? And they were just like, oh, yeah, yeah. Obviously, oh, I don't think the rose.
She clearly got the rose.
I don't think he formally gave it to her. But,
she also tells, you know, the camera off screen. She says, he said that he was crazy for me.
Yeah. Oh, she's like.
Anyways, I'm feeling pretty good about picking Cassie on night one. Oh, I feel like.
That's a very good investment. Good
choice. I'm continuing that pick.
Good for Cassie. Whatever. Like, blonde people. So we make it through. We get to the rose ceremony, and it's not even really a rose ceremony. It's just a continuation. It's round two of the Onyeka and Nicole fight. Does anything else happen here? Mm. Right. Like, first of all, there is no rose ceremony, so I don't know why I'm calling it that.
It's a cocktail party.
It's a cocktail party preceding a rose ceremony, which we assume happened. I guess.
Yeah, maybe. One thing that was fun was Tayshia took him aside to the beach with the Chinese lanterns, and all the girls were watching, and they said it was painfully cute.
It was painfully cute.
That was pretty cute.
The thing is, Tayshia is great. She dominates. The one-on-one time, she's so good at that.
Yeah.
I'm not even on these things, but I am more attracted to Tayshia at the end of her one-on-one time with Colton because she is that good at it.
She's killing her percent.
She's murdering her percent.
Yes.
She's murdering the other girls' percent, too, because they're willfully forfeiting it.
Did you notice Kirpa flossing Colton's teeth?
Listen.
Yes, that was
when you know what you want, like,
hey,
that's her job, right?
She's offering professional services, you know?
I'm just going to say it now. I don't see the Kirpa appeal.
I love the Kirpa appeal.
Possible episode title?
It's going to come from somewhere in here.
Kirpa appeal? Get it? Get it?
I think Nelly gets it. Or the rest of the people in his gang. Because they already accepted her.
Demi gave Colton some trust rings.
Oh, yeah.
Colton...
What is that?
What does that even mean?
You know, I don't know.
It sounds to me like it's somebody who knows she's losing and is just throwing out Hail Marys all the time. Is that not right?
That seems right.
But, other than that, I think it's just Onyeka versus Nicole is the rest.
That's the rest of it. And, this argument is, dumb.
Annoying.
It's, like, I guess, first of all, this is what happens when you cast an entire set of women who are all 23. 23-ish, but they all just act like the least mature person. And, so Onyeka's like, listen, she's not here for the right reason. She's kind of a we're angry at each other. And Nicole's like, no, she's not here for the right reasons. She's kind of a we're all angry at her. And the two of them just, like, remove themselves from the group and have this loud fight that everyone can hear. The best way to fight is in a way that makes everyone around you uncomfortable, right? Like, and especially the guy who you're fighting about, you're fighting so loud he can hear you. There's no coming back from this.
Yeah, I liked that, Nicole said that Onyeka called her mentally unstable, which she denied, and then immediately she called her a psycho.
That was weird. It's like
great editing.
Yeah. It's like something you would find in like a mockumentary where you're like, I never said that, and they cut to like the one-on-one interview, and you're like, I said that. that's exactly what happened here.
Yeah.
The subtle Morgan Freeman voice. She said that.
Yeah, she said that. So
Colton's over it.
I think everyone's over it. They're fighting so hard, and it's like this is a mutually assured destruction fight. This is not going to result with a winner. This is going to result with two losers, and everyone who just keeps their mouth shut is going to continue smiling and being like, I'm still on the show. Kirpa over here, who has said nothing, is going to advance into the top 10 because she's not in this fight.
Mm-hmm. Smart moves.
That's the only way.
I think
way
she's going to make it, too, yeah.
Play the game.
Because, you know, Nicole, Onyeka, Demi's had her fair share of drama, and clearly she's going to get in a fight next week. Who do we think Demi's going to get in a fight? At least, who do you think Demi's going to get in a fight with next week?
I don't know. I think
either way, she's starting a fight with somebody.
That's the only way she knows how to live, Frank.
Hannah B.
she fights.
Hannah B. has caused her share of problems, so all four of them have their levels of drama.
Demi and Hannah B. would be interesting.
Heather, you know, has peaked. So yeah, I think Kirpa could easily sneak into the top eight without saying anything.
Listen, I'm a huge Kirpa fan. I'm on Team Kirpa.
There have been contestants like this where you don't know anything about them, and then all of a sudden they're like almost at hometowns.
You can just be like pretty attractive and keep your mouth shut, and just like let everyone else self implode, and like that is a viable strategy on this show. And it not only is it a viable strategy, like Sydney's doing it too.
Who was the taxidermist last season?
I wish I could remember anything at all. But I remember there was
Grocery Store Joe in Bachelor in Paradise. Anyways, I felt like she snuck into the top five without saying anything the whole season.
You can do it. It's a viable strategy.
I don't think Kirpa's going to do that. I think she might get in a fight with Demi.
Oh.
How do you even fight somebody who doesn't talk?
Because I think she's been simmering under the surface.
Oh, she's going to, like, Kirpa's just going to boil over.
She's going to snap.
On Demi. I mean, that's...
That's my bold prediction.
Wow. Is there anything else? Like, the rose ceremony is just this fight. Nothing else, right?
I have one more. Okay, so since we haven't talked about Katie all episode,
let's take some time to talk about Katie.
How much time do we have?
Let me position myself.
Okay, I have a Dear Adam question. This is your advice column.
Please.
So, Dear Adam... I have a friend who I went to high school with who looks like Katie. Oh. And, you know, not like a close friend, just someone who I, you know, would see at, two or three times a year.
Close enough to have her phone number?
No, she's definitely married. Well, I'm married.
I'm married too, but, like, everyone's single at work, and this is my work.
My question is, should I, like, say, hey, there's a contestant on The Bachelor who looks like you? How do I bring this up? Should I? Should I not bring it up?
I think that's a great way to start. Here's my answer. Dear Frank, or dear whatever, however you said. Dear has a hot friend. yes, I think you should. I think you should start this. Hey, there's a girl who looks like you on The Bachelor, part two. I have a friend who does a podcast about The Bachelor, and he's very into this girl who looks like you.
She wears glasses.
Wait a second.
Send him pictures.
There's only so much information I can handle. Final note, I thought maybe I should introduce you guys.
or just, here's your Instagram handle.
Whatever, yeah, I mean, that might be weird.
Yeah. I'll probably just not say anything. This seems like the right call.
All right, great. Moving on.
It sounds like you're not taking my advice. It sounds like you're doing exactly the opposite of what I said, which was talk to her now and just throw it out there, you know.
No, I think you just walked through how that scenario might go. It seemed like it wouldn't go well.
It sounded like it went well.
Wait, from your perspective.
Are we listening to separate things?
Great. Thank you for the advice.
Speaking of people who look like Katie, let's go into power rankings. Oh. Correct?
So, Britt, are you going to do...
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about how we're going to do them.
Because there's three of us.
Yes.
I'm going to go ahead and do my power rankings based on who I'm into.
Great.
So I'll take that one.
I'm going to do them the right way, which is who I think Colton will pick.
And then I will do a third mystery way once the two of you guys are done.
Third mystery way. Are we going to reveal it at the end of the power rankings?
Well, I have to think about what it is.
While you guys
go through yours.
Let's start at number four.
All right.
Would you like to go first, Brittany?
Number four, I have Tayshia.
Tayshia.
Yes.
I mean,
I know, surprising. She pulled ahead this week, but
she had a great episode.
I think she's going to peak too early and she's going to fall behind some of the other front leaders that we've also seen in the recent episodes.
I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to abstain from selecting a number 4.
So is Kirpa cut?
Is it because of her chin?
First of all, Kirpa is cut.
Is it because of her chin?
No, she is cut. She's cut. But she's not cut from the show.
I'm sort of in like an on-again, off-again thing with Kirpa. I like, she wears glasses a little bit. I'm into what she's putting down. I am not that into it. I think I have a top three that I'm so solidly committed to that I feel fine leaving Kerpa and the rest of the girls out at number four. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to vote present on girl number four.
Voting present.
He doesn't see the Kerpa appeal.
I don't see the Kerpa appeal. Frank, who is your number four in the mystery rankings?
Okay, so I'm going to do the top four people who I think will have a successful Bachelor in Paradise season after this is concluded.
Great.
And my number four is Onyeka, who
absolutely
may not be around that much longer on this show, but I think she'll...
She's a fire plug.
She's definitely willing to talk to the camera. She can, you know, stir things up. She could be, like, happy. She could be dramatic. We've seen...
Better yet, I think she could be friends with an entire island of people.
She could get in a relationship night one, but still create enough drama to, like, keep things going. Like,
drama!
Yeah.
I think she could really be an excellent character. So she's my number four.
I'm a very
future Bachelor in Paradise.
I'm a very big fan for her.
Good choice.
Yeah. All right, Brittany, back to you. Who's number three?
I'm going to go with Kaylin.
Kaylin?
Our beauty queen. Yeah, I think she's a safe pick for Colton. They have a really good connection. Can't forget about last week with her revealing her story.
He is into her.
He's into her. This week didn't show it, but she's still top of mind.
I'm going to go, speaking of this week didn't show it, but she's still top of mind, I'm going to go ahead and release my number three. It's Sydney, who I'm very into and always have been, and even though she hasn't really been on the show much. You know, she's the one girl from the season that I've chosen to follow on Instagram. I'm very happy with that.
Great sex jokes at the end of the episode.
I think she might have been trying a little bit too hard, but, like, you know what?
Still number three.
I like a girl who tries to make a joke, you know? There's nothing wrong with that.
All right, so my number three is someone who got eliminated tonight. Number three, who I think will definitely be on Bachelor in Paradise, is Elise.
Got eliminated by herself.
But she will definitely be on Bachelor in Paradise.
Because of all the drama?
Well, she, you know, yeah, she'll be a classic drama character. She... will be struggling, going back and forth with her own, you know,
misery.
Yeah.
Red-haired misery.
She won't be able to deal with it. She might only last 2 weeks on the show, but she will 100% be like the core storyline for a Bachelor in Paradise episode.
She is miserable. Brittany, number two?
Number two. I'm going against the grain with Hannah G.
Wow, number two.
Yeah.
That's a big move.
Change this week. I think... She is the typical girl that Colton goes for. Like, she is his ideal. And that's why they're really connected. But in the very end...
Not deep enough,
Not deep enough. We don't know anything about her, either. She's still a question mark.
I'm going to give my number two to Tayshia, who was also number two last week. But also, she's the only girl who wore anything that fit in the after-the-hike dating thing. And she's so hot. You know, I have a very primitive ranking system, but, you know, it is what it is.
She's doing really well.
she was doing very well.
My number two for future Bachelor in Paradise contestants is Demi. I think she'll be like the, you know, Corinne of this season, and she'll just make some super dramatic, sloppy relationships.
Is there a guy in the existing Bachelor universe who you think could actually hit it off well?
You can never predict these things ahead of time. It could be someone from years ago.
You know why? Because you can't help who you're into.
Or someone.
Here's the thing, Frank. You can't help who you're into.
But
oh my god, would it be like Juan Pablo?
Ah, man. Wow. Okay, I could go on another diversion and go back to the... But I won't do that at this point. Demi's my number two.
All right.
She's perfect for that.
Yeah.
Let's do a round of number ones. All Brittany. Right.
Number one. Switched this week. Cassie is my number one.
Oh, you're just giving in to your husband's peer pressure.
Well, okay, but you're trying to be Taylor right now, right? You're trying to
be... She can be Brittany.
No, but I'm just saying you're...
No, I'm picking who I think he will
you're
pick
doing
based
Taylor's,
on this week.
Taylor's version of rankings. Yeah,
yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Cassie clearly was the winner of this week. Even though I think Tayshia... pulled out all the stops, I still think that Colton felt way stronger about Cassie. They needed no words.
I agree.
They don't talk, so yeah. My number one, and if Frank's friend is listening to this, like, I'm available.
Well, you're not available. But not neither really. Is she.
Whatever. It's like, don't give away my secrets. She doesn't know that.
Just an internet
in this
figure.
Fancy studio.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's single at work. My number one's Katie, still, because look at her. Frank, who is your number one?
I just like that Katie had that moment at the end of the show where she was there when the big fight was going on. And
she was just Colton, like, I'm going to get out of here.
Colton walked away, and she gave a quick like wave, like, all right, enjoy the fight.
Hey.
My number one for a future Bachelor in Paradise contestant is Hannah B. I think she'll cause the most drama, and everyone will dislike her on the show, and it'll be a real S show.
Wow, such S violent show. Letters.
Yeah, it'll be a disaster. I think she'll be like seriously be
yeah.
the person that we're this summer we're all
she's
just being like
for it.
Like she has no idea what she's doing and is out
yeah,
of control.
I think I already think she's out of control.
Adam, can I ask you a bold prediction?
Bold prediction, no rose ceremony at all, just because these two girls, he's gonna be like, all right, you guys, Onyeka and Nicole, you're out, and everyone else is in, and then everyone else is gonna look at each other and be like, wait, this was easy, all I had to do was shut up, and Kerpa's gonna be like, I told you. I mean, that's it.
That's what's gonna happen.
That's the only thing that can happen.
Yeah. Why does Colton jump over a fence?
I think Colton jumps over a fence because he accidentally kicks a ball over there and he has to go get it.
That is like, not what happens.
I don't know. He's going to do it. We've seen it in the previews 1,000 times. I don't know. I thought for sure it was going to be tonight. I was telling you guys, like, he's going to do it right now. He's going to do it right now. And he didn't.
It's probably something super benign. Like, he just needed a break in the sound and audio guy following him.
I'm going to go back. I'm going to say he does it still over this Onyeka and Nicole fight just at the very beginning of next episode. He's like,
ooh.
He stormed off at the end of this one. And I think we're going to start next episode, like, in the middle of the fight.
Mm.
In the middle of the struggle. And he's going to be like, I got to get out of here. And he jumps over.
Yeah.
Who do we think Demi fights next week?
We already talked about that.
Now that you've brought up Hannah B, like, it's impossible for me.
It could be Hannah B.
That's the ideal.
I think it's Kerpa.
You think it's
Kerpa? That's your bold prediction.
That's what I was telling. Yeah.
Kerpa's already been in some fight, apparently.
Yeah.
I'll say Demi picks a side in the Onyeka Nicole battle, and she is friends with Onyeka, so she fights Nicole.
I think Demi and Hannah B fighting is like, that's the Ali Frazier that we've been waiting for this
right.
season. Like, that's the two prime suspects going at it. I would love to see that.
That would be great.
If only
we could be so lucky.
Hey, you two, thank you for coming to be on the show.
Thanks for having us.
It's been fantastic. You know, I love having you both in our luxurious studio and everything.
It's big.
So luxurious. It's,
right? So many
Very
people.
Very fancy.
It was a great time. Thanks for coming along. Time. Thanks for listening to this show for, like, all of these seasons. You know, this is also kind of maybe an advertisement. Like, if you listen to the show and you want to be on it, like, you know, just put it out there.
Just text Adam.
Just text Adam. And
like a week before.
Like, see what happens. Sometimes the door opens, but you'll never know unless you knock, right?
There's room for a studio audience.
Oh, plenty. Several studio audiences, maybe. Anyway, thanks for coming along. If you're listening, no surprises. Taylor will be back next week. But you should still listen anyway, and we'll see you then.
Bye.
Bye.
You know, I think when a man loves a woman,
there's so much more you can do in a fantasy suite.
Yeah.
You never wear underwear.
There was a big group of women.
That's sort of evil.
Now we're rolling with it. Will he, won't he? I did things my way.
It wasn't perfect. I'm not perfect, but I tried my best.
I'm having fun. I loved it. I'm very excited.